Grace and peace are yours from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On a beautiful shoreline in Massachusetts sits a row of beautiful beach homes, and their owners, who are also probably beautiful, are nervous because the sea is rising and eating a little more of that beautiful shoreline every year. And so they come together and devise an audacious plan to save their property. They paid $500,000 to have 15,000 tons of sand trucked in and piled up as a dune between their backyards and the encroaching ocean. 15,000 tons. That's 30 million pounds of sand. It lasted 3 days. The tide and the waves broke that dune down and swallowed it up in 72 hours. This is a perfect metaphor for grace, which is constantly under assault in this world. No matter how many times the grace of God is proclaimed to you from a pulpit like this, no matter how deep and high it is piled up in your heart, it will be washed away again and again. What's so amazing about grace? That's the title of today's installment in our Got Questions sermon series. And I worry it might be a little misleading. By amazing, I don't mean super cool, as the kids say. I'm not asking what's so terrific about grace. Instead, I want us to consider some alternatives to amazing from the thesaurus. Maybe what's so bewildering about grace? Or what's so astounding about grace? Yeah, that's the one. That's really good. There's going to be a huge rhetorical payoff for that one, and it's going to rhyme. Just wait for it. So what's so astounding about grace? To understand why grace is astounding, we have to first understand what grace is. And the good news is, unlike most things, there's not a lot of debate about the definition. You can walk into any church today, and they'll tell you exactly what I'm about to say. Grace is the forgiveness we have not earned and cannot earn. The bad news is, nobody buys that. Nobody can accept that. Not really. Not always. Grace is astounding, then, because it is confounding. Nice. Remember that rhetorical payoff I was talking about? That was it. And in the words of my wife at 11 o'clock last night, I don't think it's as good as you think it is. Grace is amazing, bewildering, astounding, precisely because it is so contrary to life in this world as we have come to know it. We think in terms of debt and obligation and merit and just deserts. Our society is built and ordered on these concepts and values. We want criminals to see their day in court, to pay their debt. We want college admissions and job promotions to be fair and meritorious for everyone to get what they've earned. But even in our mundane daily interactions, we are governed by these principles of debt and obligation, what we owe and what we are owed. All right, imagine with me now. You are walking toward the doors of this church from the parking lot, and someone is approaching with you, and horror of horrors, they're like a step ahead of you, and they get to the door just before you. They hold it open for you to enter first, and then you hit that second set of doors. What do? You open, I mean, we're not barbarians, but you hold it open, right? You hold it open. When someone holds a door open for us, we need to hold that next door open for them because we feel the weight of even that fleeting obligation, that minuscule debt to another. We cannot freely accept even the tiny grace of a held door without attempting to repay it in some way. And that's fine. That's good, in fact, for this life that we share with each other on this side of paradise. But when that same courtesy infiltrates our relationship with God, it robs us of God's greatest gift. Because when we think of grace, the gift we do not deserve and cannot earn, as something we can earn, something we can repay, at least a little bit, we inevitably think of it as something we must earn and must repay. And so we start looking for doors to open for Jesus. Consider one of the most common, popular ways of imagining salvation in this country. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and all you have to do is open it. All these churches around us that talk about grace, they all get the definition right. But then it all falls apart in the application. All of a sudden, the grace of Jesus isn't unearned. It isn't unmerited. You have to help with the delivery. You have to at least, dangerous little words those, you have to at least accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to consent to receiving merciful treatment. You owe Jesus an open door. I prefer the Jesus we meet in John's Gospel. That Jesus comes to the tomb of his friend Lazarus and doesn't knock and doesn't wait for his friend to answer. He simply rolls away the stone. And when everyone protests, "He's been dead for days. The smell will be horrible," Jesus responds, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" And even though none of them understand, he gives them the glory anyway. He yells into the tomb, "Lazarus, get out of there!" And Lazarus, who until very recently had been very much dead, walks out very much alive. That is grace. It is non-collaborative. Lazarus didn't help Jesus. He couldn't. He was dead. Those are the only people who need the gift of life. We need saving because we can't save ourselves. We need forgiveness because we can't forgive ourselves. And so, God, who loves us so much, gave us Jesus to do precisely that, to save us. What a gift. That's grace. I don't know if you got 15,000 tons of it this morning, but I trust and pray that you got just enough to last you till next Sunday. Amen.